Mel Seidenberg is talking about.
Well, right now, in my involvement in the Hill District, we had a couple of things. We were working with several programs, and some of the people we were working with were living in the Hill District. So I got involved. The Irene Kaufman Settlement was a great place in its day. When we first came here, that was the my wife and I. That was in 46, 47. The Irene Kaufman Settlement was the first place that we had seen an interracial drama group called the Curtaineers. They used to perform.
You got to catch that.
Curtaineers. They performed at the Irene Kaufman Settlement, and that was, I've been told, mm-hmm. was the finest stage. They had the greatest, the best scenery mm-hmm. set up and everything, a fine auditorium, uh-huh. and they
at
put
Irene
on
Kaufman Center.
That was on Center Avenue. Uh-huh. And they did great things there.
Were they blacks? Is that what
there was?
Saying?
It was an interracial group. However, I knew Bernie John and others have told me that when they were growing up that they could not. There was a time when blacks could not use their pool mm-hmm. and use their other facilities. So there was some resentment there. The Irene Kaufman Settlement, of course, did the old part where they had the reading classes, and there were also classes at the old Wiley Avenue Library mm-hmm. for immigrants. You know, mm-hmm. they learned to read and all that, but that was for Jewish immigrants. Mm-hmm. The blacks were pretty much shut out of that. But then when we were involved, and I was involved with the Hill in the 60s, and Irene Kaufman Settlement was going to be torn down, we tried, and I was very much involved in this, trying to save that swimming pool for the black community. Mm-hmm. Swimming pool all finally wound up that it was not economically practical, I don't know. And so they kept only the part where the auditorium was, and that is in pretty extensive use now. And then they built the new building where the Hill House mm-hmm. was located. But the old Irene Kaufman Settlement was a great place. But as I say, I do know people that growing up there did resent the fact that they were a child. Now, that is the truth.
That wasn't clear. That sentence of yours.
Well, this goes back to the, I guess, the 30s and 40s, when blacks were not could not swim or engage in some of the other activities going on. There were a lot of activities at the Irene Kaufman, just like the JCC now. Now, today it's altogether different, because you go to JCC and you see a lot of black kids there.
And how?
Yeah. But then, that was part of the times. That's the times the blacks were shut out of everything. The blacks had were really segregated. And so their life was, in the jazz places up there and their own places and the ball teams, the baseball, But so it's, there have been some very good changes, I think, mm-hmm. and some not so good. Mm-hmm. The Hill District was a very, I thought, a very interesting place. You know, I've wanted to do more work on that, on the history of that. Because, you had the Jews, you had the Irish, Italians, and blacks.
Well, how would you like to make a comment? How do you feel about those who feel that the blacks have not really spoken out about the help they have gotten down through the years from especially Jews, let's say, as well as many whites?
I can't say that. I know that there are some of the more militant people who have said that, and I know what I know the feeling about Farrakhan and so forth. And I just really don't know. Mm-hmm. I know that I've gotten to know, and I've spent enough time with black communities to know something about what their bitterness and the roots of their bitterness. And I've been to meetings where I've heard these things said, well, if the people in Squirrel Hill can have things like to have their own building, why can't we in Homewood, And they seem very resentful. And they point out, in meetings it's been pointed out to them, the Jews did help you in many ways. But in many other ways, then there are blacks who remember that some of the stores in the Hill District on Center Avenue exploited them. The pawn shops exploited them. There were the places that these were Jewish-owned businesses. And so you had some of both. You had some of the good things happen from the Jewish community, but what many of the black people will remember is that that they, if they went now, some of the stores, not all of them, some of them, that they were, you know, charged more, that they were treated. And I saw this in my hometown, Pueblo. I saw this happen with Mexicans. Where, you know, they would just take advantage in every possible way. And yet there were stores up there, like Slutsky's Grocery, the blacks remember with great fun. They said he was great. He treated them like people. But a lot of the others didn't.
Did you know Paul Foreman, the dentist? His father had a...
I remember that name. I think I did.
He had a Hill grocery store.
Paul
worked in it.
Yeah.
You didn't remember.
Well, I don't. The name's vague for me. But you know, it's interesting that the blacks even had equally resentment against a couple of stores that were owned by blacks. There was a Hicks Superette, and they would resent because his prices were, you know, and they've tried, and over the last 10 or 15 years, there was the old movie theater on Center Avenue, Dinwiddie. They put in this shopping center, and they've had about 3 or 4 people try to run supermarkets, and all of them have gone under.
That's right.
So, because the blacks from the Hill will go to the Giant Eagle in Oakland because they can get it's cheaper, you know, or mm-hmm. Center Avenue, so there is also resentment against black merchants. Now, there are black people in the Hill. A guy named Herb Bean, who is really he has a big gas station at Kirkpatrick and Center, and he's done an awful lot. He's hired black people. Mm-hmm. He's taught them mechanics and so forth. So there are, you know, so whether it's black or Jew, the blacks and Jews, you know, I think it's very unfortunate that the schism developed, particularly during the Jackson campaign, because the blacks and Jews always, I think, had a lot in common, you know.
Yep. Let me... interrupt you. I'd like to revert to a bit more family background association, which we didn't quite spend enough time with. Your children married?
Well, my daughter's married. My son is has a live-in girlfriend.
Yeah.
She's also a violinist, and considering marriage, but it's, you know.
Yeah, it's okay.
My youngest daughter is.
Grandchildren?
No
grandchildren.
No, that's what my wife's.
That's the said. What really I was getting to.
Yeah, no grandchildren.
And
which we.
What are they? You know, we've got their names. I forgot to ask you approximately their ages.
Well, Danny, the son, Bill, is 37.
Yeah,
Will
son,
is,
37.
Yeah, Will is 32, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Julie's 27. Mm-hmm.
And,
about 5 years apart.
I can make an inference, but I'd like you to say, do they have any kind of Jewish religious affiliation or association or activity, as far as you could tell?
No, not much. Mm-hmm. Not much. They've not been oriented to that.
Mm-hmm.
What was the daughter's age again? Her name?
The youngest?
Yeah.
Julie is about, she's 27.
Julie,
hard
27.
Hard to believe. Still think of her as a baby.
And... little or no religious orientation. Children.
Yeah, well, they grew up out here where they, you know, there wasn't.
I'm not blaming or asking. Yeah. I just merely need to know. This is pure sociology.
That's partly
we
because
from you to him, to you know, to them.
It's partly because my wife and I had very little, and
that's right.
And our kids are we're very close with our kids. Mm-hmm. We don't try to tell them how to live their lives. But they all have like us. This strong Jewish identity.
Yeah. I mean, they do? Okay. Right.
They all have a strong cultural identity. Yeah. In fact...
No religious association, however, can continue cultural identity.
My son, he and I have had a lot of arguments about Israel. He was very pro-Israel and what's been happening, and I had some questions about what Israel was doing. But he was very... But he was in the Mideast about a year ago on a music trip, and he was in Jordan and Egypt, and he still has a strong feeling about what, you know, Israel's position, but he also developed a lot of respect for the Jordanians. He just found them to be very very civilized.
Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters,
I was an only child.
I forgot that. We forgot that.
My wife had three brothers,
mm-hmm.
Of whom one is still living.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where?
He's in, living in the Boston, the suburb of Boston. He mm-hmm. was formerly provost at the Tufts,
mm-hmm.
and he's a sociologist.
Mm-hmm.
And one of her other brothers mm-hmm. died about 10 years ago, was a writer. He's mm-hmm. he's written a lot about Martin Delaney, who was mm-hmm. a black doctor here in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. and also was the first black mm-hmm. Officer commissioned in mm-hmm. the Civil War. And he's written about other black, he'd spent some time in the Mississippi Delta.
It's pretty evident that both you and on your wife's side, there were people who had more than usual friendships and association with black programs. And
yeah, yeah. Well, as I said, I think for me it started when I was had made these two friends.
Yes, I picked that thought up when you said it. On your newspaper beat or in your personal association, did you ever have anything to do with the major synagogues here in town for political activity or any other thing?
I gave you a copy of the story I wrote about this cantor who had been in the camps.
Right, yes. Excuse me. You did give me a couple of articles. One of them...
this one I just happened to come across when I was trying to get through my files.
Yeah. And would you mention his name?
This was a very interesting interview, I thought. And,
what's his name?
Go ahead, tell me.
His name was Shalom Katz.
And you wrote the article?
Yeah. And I had written this article. I remember I was very much impressed by this cantor. He was a cantor.
In Pittsburgh?
Well, I interviewed him in Pittsburgh, but he had been saved from the gas chambers because he had his voice mm-hmm. is so great. And that's what this story is about, that he...
Where was the story and what date, please?
The story is about how he sang while people were going to their death. And it was
Where was the story?
Where was it printed?
Yeah.
Post-Gazette.
What date?
Yeah.
In April, I don't know the exact date, April 1953.
Okay.
And he was here mm-hmm. to appear with the choir
uh-huh.
at Polozetic the next night.
Yeah.
And he was very, I thought that he was very interesting.
What was the other article that you gave me there?
Well, that was just an article that when I went to the redevelopment site, it was a story about.
Well, wait, it's not complete. Was he a survivor of the death camps?
Yeah.
All right, he was a survivor of the death camps.
Yeah.
Because of his voice.
Because of his voice.
Well, because the Gestapo made him, the Gestapo guards made him sing at this, they set up a concert. Mm-hmm. And I'd have to read the story to get it. But he'd been trained in Vienna. He had a fine voice and so forth. And between machine gun bursts, he sang this Hamatze, so forth and so on. Grant perfect rest beneath the shadow of that between the machine. And 2,000 Jews died as he sang. That was what. Mm-hmm. I remember that interview, and I thought it was very
touching. Yes, it is. I was going to ask about the other article. That was a typical article. That happens to be about you at the time you went to
This is when I left the Post Gazette
and went to
the
UDA.
To the Urban Redevelopment Authority.
Yeah,
and they, mm-hmm. they identified me then as. The story said that I was generally recognized as a top journalistic interpreter of Pittsburgh's famed Renaissance. That's a little pretentious, but that's the way they were.
Well, that's why everybody wrote. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's see what topic we eluded so far. Interviewing people. Would you like to say something about interesting people you met during your career? Any outstanding people that you would like recording?
There were so many when, as newspaper reporters, you know,
sure
so many
were.
People, but they're short-lived. But one of the people that I was really fond of and very much impressed by was Dave Lawrence. I was got to know him fairly well and spent some time. After he was governor, he was chairman of the Redevelopment Authority, and he had set up a little office in there. And I thought he was a terrific guy. He was just he really tried to do something with this city. And another person that I liked very much, he didn't have the, he was a great state legislator, was Joe Barr. I thought the world of him.
Any anecdotes you could tell us about Ephraim and Joe Barr? Any little story?
Well, I think...
What was Joe Barr like? What kind of man
Joe
was
Barr,
he? How did he feel about Jews? What did he put
Joe
in his...
Joe Barr was a very...
a mayor. He was the mayor, too,
mayor,
wasn't
he? He'd been a state legislator for many years before. He got a lot of the state legislation passed. He was a state senator. And he was responsible for getting a lot of the legislation for the Renaissance passed. He had a lot to do with that. But he was a very nice guy, very affable guy. He had, I don't know how many kids he had, but he was a good father. Because I remember when my daughter was about to be born, I was already 46 years old at that time. And I was telling him, I said, boy, I said, I don't know, I'm kind of old to have a third child. He says, forget it. He says, I'll keep you young. You know, and he said he loved his kid. But he was a real, I just thought he was a nice guy. And he had, and both he and Dave Lawrence were very, as far as Jews were concerned, you know, they were politicians.
Yeah.
Good politicians, you know, they don't draw lines.
That's right.
And, of course.
They were includers.
Yeah. Another guy that I thought the world of, and I thought he was one of the brightest and most charming and wittiest guy, was Dave Ogle.
Yes.
When he was on council, I got to know him pretty well then. And I just thought the world of him. There were many. Dave Craig, who is now in the Commonwealth Court, a great guy. And there were just a lot of them.
Well, the other fellow associated with Dave Horowitz was Danny Berger.
Daniel Berger. Was he related to Meyer Berger?
Yes.
That's his son?
Son.
Yeah, I know Meyer Berger. Yeah. I think I've met Dan.
Dan, you probably...
Yeah, I know the name. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are there any travels...
Well, after you talk about Jews, Meyer Berger has been a big wig in the Democratic Party many years.
That's right.
Any travels that you would like to relate? Did you leave Pittsburgh at any time and go somewhere else?
No, I used to cover stories. You know, I used to go places on the Post Gazette, and you know, where our travels now are confined, going up to Boston, and we were in Seattle this past summer, and Colorado, and things like that. But, so not big on that.
Have you been back to Pueblo?
Well, I was there in June because my cousin who moved to California died. She was buried there. I was there for an unhappy occasion. She was the last. Well, they're just. My mother's was one of 13, and the youngest was Rena's. That's my cousin. Her mother died a year before, in California. So she was the last of 13, and Rena, and I have a cousin in Louisville. We were the last of my mother's family. Except now there's some second cousins I've gotten to know. But Rena was quite a person. She was a Cal State historian and an expert in women's studies, and she died prematurely, cancer. So that just happened in June.
Well, how did Pueblo look to you?
Changed completely. Just, you know, the big malls have just, you know, changed. I hadn't been there in 19 years.
So you don't... It's a different city.
Well, I still know my way around there, but it's spread out. When I used to go back there 25 years ago, I'd walk down Main Street and stop and say hello to I don't know how many people. Well, there's not hardly anything left of Main Street because they built these big malls just like they did in most other cities, you know.
How about Pittsburgh?
Well, Pittsburgh retained its downtown, but I'm afraid it's, I hope it can continue. There have been a lot of office buildings, but the retail is doesn't look too good down there. I don't, as long as you can keep that, the whole Renaissance was, Pittsburgh was quite unusual for many years because you had the three major department stores stayed downtown. Now Gimbel's is out, and hopefully Horns and Kaufman's will stay, but... And you don't have, you don't have the restaurants you used to have, you don't have the nightlife, you don't have any movies. You have one movie theater left, arts theater. The thing that's creating some life down there is hopeful is Benedum Center and Heinz Hall. And yes. What they're doing there is, but the office building, someone just recently, one of the architectural critics for one of the papers just had a story about how these office buildings don't relate to the street. This what's going on, and back when we first came here, everything revolved around downtown. If you went anywhere, you would change trolleys in downtown. A lot of people went downtown to shop at Market Square. The old Diamond Market down there,
mm-hmm. Murphy's and
Murphy. And then where the square, the open square, used to be a big building there. You weren't here then, I guess.
Oh,
that was torn down before.
Mm-hmm.
You were here 26 years?
1963.
Well, that building was torn down before that,
before
I think.
Before my time.
Because there were four sections of it that occupied those plots of Market Square.
Mm-hmm.
And there were meat markets and groceries, bakeries in there, roller skating rink. I remember writing a lot of stories protesting the tearing down of that. And the city said, well, it was just not economic to keep it going, and they want to open up the square. But that, you see a lot of store vacancies downtown. That, to me, is kind of distressing. I used to love go downtown, just walk, but it's not as interesting as it used to be.
That's right. That's right. Pittsburgh has the same type of office buildings as other downtown
it's
cities.
Like every other,
But it still has a mixture, which very few have.
Well, it still has. I hope it can hold it, but... Mm-hmm. What is disturbing that every time, every other week, you pick up paper, somebody else wants this building another shopping center in the suburbs.
That's right.
Right down here where Union Switch, Swissville.
Yes.
They're going to build a big complex there, and they've got, they just built a new big shopping center across from Monroeville Mall out here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just, an office building. Building office buildings like crazy. My hope was always that they would focus on downtown more.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, it's not safe to go downtown in the evenings.
In the evening, I don't think it's
yeah. Ask him.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you're going down to Heinz Hall and Benedum, I don't think.
Well, you're safe.
But I don't know.
Otherwise,
I go
there a lot.
I think
wonderful in Pittsburgh.
Well, yeah, there have been a few incidents down there, but
if you get on
a lonely street, and there's nobody around, you could feel a little nervous. Not until a few years ago, I never thought about it.
How about when the Civic Arena empties from any of those big jazz festivals?
I just haven't seen much.
You haven't seen the newspapers?
I've read some of that, but I don't think it's... Compared with other cities,
no.
I think Pittsburgh's relatively safe.
Very good, yeah. Incidentally, we do have what I would call this disorder that follows sporting and music events.
Sure.
I characterize them as a different phenomenon.
Oh, sure.
It's a craziness, all right, but it's a different...
Sure. Well, I did mention it. For 15 years, when the stadium was first opened, I was in the press box for every Steeler home game.
Yeah.
Doing working with two other guys and doing the play-by-play for the National Football League and for the Steelers, and this was something that we would type up the play-by-play and then it would be Xeroxed and then handed out to the media at the end of each quarter, and so I didn't miss a home game for 15 years. I did up till 1985.
You still go?
I haven't been since then, but I went every Sunday for 15 years. And those were great years. What was very interesting to me was that when you go to the game, and I used to have to go early and I'd leave late because I had this work to do. I had to get the scoring summaries and so forth. And incidentally, there was another great person, Art Rooney. Of course, everybody liked him. But one of the things I noticed, when I go again, they'd have these tailgate parties, and mm-hmm. everybody'd be out there with their... And it got bigger and bigger. When the Steelers won, you'd come out of there, and everybody would be so... Is it still going?
No.
Everybody would be so friendly and so happy.
Yeah.
You get on the parkway coming home, you get in traffic, people would honk. But when they lost, those people would get so... It would just be awful. They were just terrible. You know, they'd growl at you, and they would drive like crazy. I had an accident on the parkway because I was coming home from a Steelers game. I was still thinking about the game because they'd lost in the last couple minutes. Mm-hmm. And I hit a car on the parkway because I was so
grossed
tied up with that. Mm-hmm. So the Steelers have been a big part of my life during that period. I still follow.
Do you remember any Jewish players that you knew?
Well, I didn't know them. I didn't know the players, except once in a while if they came with blood. But, you know, of course, Grossman was our Jewish tight end. You know, he was great, I think.
He was my next-door neighbor during that period.
Was he?
Yeah.
It seemed like I never met him, I think, but everyone I talked to said he seemed like a nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah. His brother was...
Not a big fellow.
His brother was playing for... was it Pitt? Yeah. Wasn't his Pitt brother a defensive end?
I didn't know his brother. I just knew Randy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I knew it was Randy, his wife, and child.
I know his brother and his cousin, but there was a Grossman. Mm-hmm. But Randy's, everything I ever heard about him was really nice.
Yeah, good words. That's right.
Are you retired at the present?
Yeah, I've been retired since 1985. I've been doing
1985?
Doing a little freelance work, a little volunteer work. Is that what you're on, both volunteers?
Yes, of course.
Oh, sure.
Are you retired?
Oh, yes. Yeah?
You look too young to.
A lot older than you think.
Yeah, we're both retired. This job does take a lot of retired people. How would you like to comment on... Well, first, it says here, what are your activities besides the few you mentioned?
Now?
Since you were retired, yeah. Anything else?
Well, I've been doing a little writing. I've done some writing for the Port Authority. I did a history of the Port Authority. And
are these paid jobs?
Yeah. I'm not that interested in that because, you know, the pay is, you know, as you know...
They're nominal.
Well, when you reach, you know, and, you know, it's... But I there are a number of projects I just can't seem to get time to get into, and some of it involves some of the things I've done before with Pittsburgh history, particularly with photos.
Yes.
And I've got downstairs, I've got three filing cabinets full of photos and files. And
who
stuff.
Took the photos?
Well, these are stuff that from the Roy Stryker and I had researched and stuff that I had left over. From.
With Roy Stryker.
Well, I'd done some of that myself, too.
And you, too.
And I've got stuff from the old Irene Kaufman stuff, and I'd like to do something with that if I can. But I don't know. There doesn't seem to be time. There's a lot of things I'd like to, like the cemeteries, you know.
Well, you really ought to do
I would
that.
Like to do more about, I would like, to, which the story has never been done, the witch hunts that took place in Pittsburgh in the late 40s.
Hmm.
And then about 48, 49.
What do you mean, witch hunts?
Yeah, tell us.
Well, there was...
Pittsburgh witch hunts.
It was because of the big unions here. There were, you know, there was a real move out to break the unions, and people were being, all over the place, were being accused of being communists.
Oh, talking about political witch hunts, communists.
It was that big the pre-McCarthy, it was the House Un-American Activities
Committee. Well, if you were referring to the electrical union, the one at Westinghouse,
UE.
The UE, wasn't that a communist-dominated union?
Well, that's what they say. I knew some of the people in that. I don't know if they were communists or not, but I know it was a damn good union. I know that the officers, Albert Fitzgerald, their charter said that the top officers could take no higher pay than what the top scale was for the workers. And that was a good. And later on, some of the Westinghouse people said that they wished they could still do deal with that union rather than IUE because they found that they were better deal. Father Rice, who was the labor priest, has said something similar. That he said he wished the UE had stayed strong, that they felt that the labor movement would have been. So, if they were, but you know, the thing is that in Pittsburgh, because of the it was a drive to change the, you know, that was a power struggle. You electrical workers and the steel workers, that was the main. And,
yes.
And it was a power struggle. There were people out to get control of these. So.
Who was out to get control?
Well, it was political within the unions, you know. Mm-hmm. There was the House Un-American Activities mm-hmm. Committee was the kind of giving him the impetus in mm-hmm. him. And one of the members of that was a guy from Wilkesburg named McDowell.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you didn't have to be a communist to be accused of being one. I mm-hmm. knew a lot of people that were. Mm-hmm. And their careers were ruined, and in some cases their lives were ended. I knew a young Jewish lawyer. God, I can't think of his name. He was just hounded so much. He finally he died of a heart attack, which was premature, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a very nice guy. I don't know if he was a communist.